Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of season 3 of the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. I am so excited that you're here today because I'm speaking to David Petrusic. He's a psychic medium from the US, and David has become a kind of mentor to me actually through this year. I enrolled on one of his courses earlier this year, and that was called Psychic AF. And I am also going to be taking a one-on-one personal development course with him to dive deeper into the tarot in early next year of 2023. So I'm super, super stoked to be working with David. He is just, you're gonna hear from him in a moment. I think you're gonna love him. He is super authentic, down to earth, and he has so much knowledge and wisdom in the world of psychic arts. And he's also very open to the fact that he didn't have the most traditional path that most psychics that you hear about through the mainstream media have. So he didn't actually have this kind of moment of seeing ghosts when he was 3, or, you know, dead people didn't come into his room at age 7. You know, just that kind of that story that we've heard a lot, which is, you know, which are all amazing stories. But he didn't have that. And he's very open to the fact that he's always been quite intuitive, but he didn't necessarily know what to do with some of those senses. And he's had to really work hard to hone his craft of being a psychic medium. And through his approach and through what he shares today, he tells us more about how he worked on his own psychic abilities, but how we can also access and tap into them as well. And I think that's just very refreshing. And I really love that realness approach to psychism, but also just the mystic arts in general. You know, I believe, you know, personally, I believe as well that we all have abilities. It's just being able to tap into them and being open to tap into them in our own unique way. So I kind of love that me and David share that approach. And I'm just very excited for you to listen to him today. He talks about his own journey into the world of spirituality. But then later on in the episode, he'll also share more about how everyone can access their own psychic gifts, how to start and enhance these abilities, and also how we can connect with our spiritual team. And we also discuss the point of skepticism and how we can overcome that in order to further connect with our own spiritual energies. So we've got a lot to speak about today during this episode. I'm very, very excited for you to listen to this one. I hope you'll be able to take away some tips so that after this episode, you might go away and maybe you're already a full-blown psychic listening to this episode. But maybe if you're new on your journey, you might just want to, go away and explore and dive into some of these tips further. So hope you're in a comfortable place where you can listen to this episode. And enjoy. Let's get on with the show. So welcome, David.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Amy.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to chat to you today. I know my listeners are super intrigued by the psychic arts. And as a psychic medium and astrologer, I find your approach really interesting and inspiring because as far as I'm aware, and based on the chats that I've had with you before, you landed into the world of psychism quite differently to most, I think. I hope that's fair to say, but would love your opinion. So I'd love to hear your whole story, to be honest. I always find it fascinating, but I really want to dive into your story in more detail and just would love to know, how did your journey with the psychic arts begin?
Yeah, I was not raised like woo-woo or spiritual. I wasn't really even raised religious, so to say. I did grow up in a church and a community and all of that, and I'm not religious any longer, but it wasn't something that was in my everyday environment, if that makes sense, right? And since I was little, little boy, I always was incredibly sensitive. And I mean that both emotionally, but also in terms of the senses and the sensing and the receiving. I was very sensitive, right? And I grew up in Chicagoland, as we say, so mm-hmm. the suburbs of Chicago. And if you've ever been to that area, you know, the sprawl of the metro of Chicago is about 40, 50 miles. So it's a lot of metro. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of action and pace, right? And just that part of the U.S. and that part of the world, maybe it's a little different now, but sensitivity, intuition, spirituality, right? It's not very prominent, mm-hmm. right? And when I was younger, I kind of just had a sense of bullshit at times. I hope that's okay to say on your
episode. It's fine. Yeah.
yep. But, you know, I knew when people were lying. I could feel the emotions of other people. In retrospect, I could feel the thought forms of other people. And what I mean by that is I wasn't necessarily a six-year-old telepath, mm-hmm. right? But I could almost feel the texture of when somebody's cerebral or mental energy shifted, right? I could feel fear. I could feel anger. I could feel skepticism, whatever it was. But I didn't have a language to understand that. I didn't have mm-hmm. someone who taught me those things. And, you know, my mother is very much that way. My maternal grandmother, who's now in spirit, was very much that way. My sisters are very much that way. My father is, but they at that time didn't maybe necessarily see that in themselves, right? So I kind of relate it being psychic, naturally very intuitive, naturally mediumistic to my experience of being gay. When I was young, I didn't know what gay meant. Right? That word wasn't taught to me. I didn't understand that. At one point in my life, I realized, oh, I'm into people that are the same gender of me. What is mm-hmm. that? That's weird. That's not taught to me. And mm-hmm. then at one point in my life, I also realized, wow, I'm picking up information from the spirit world, or wow, I'm picking up information from somebody's energy. But what mm-hmm. does that mean? So I was confused for a long time, and in both parties. I was in a witch closet and I was in a gay closet.
How old were you, David, when you started to sense, or like just from very young age, or do you remember how old roughly?
Yeah, when it comes to all the things of the psychic nature, which I know you wanted to kind of break down a little bit, so we'll get back to that when you feel it's right. When it came to all the things of the psychic nature, very young, you know, probably mm-hmm. at maybe seven. Right. Maybe even before that, spirit communication and whatnot was a little bit more in my teens, and then definitely in my early 20s when I was realizing it. I might have had an experience when I was young that I forgot about, or because I was scared, I blocked it out.
Right.
But I don't kind of have one of those classic, like mm-hmm. I was seven and grandma came in the room.
Yeah.
I don't have that in my memory. Yeah.
No, but I love that. And that's why I wanted to talk to you today, because where you are now is so different. Sorry, but please continue with your story.
yeah, no, you're good. But and when it comes to like the esoteric and the occult and mysticism, I think you may have heard this story before. I share it a lot, but I'll share it for the listeners and what today. I was a 90s kid. I was born in the late 80s. And, you know, when my family got a PC in our basement and a computer, I was playing The Sims and Roller Coaster Tycoon. And I remember when I started playing The Sims for the first time, and you could like build a Sim mm-hmm. and you could choose their clothing and their hair color. You could choose their zodiac sign. And I had no idea what that was. Mm. And I remember looking on the internet, right? On a, you know, AOL or whatever was there at the time, looking up astrology. And then I found witchcraft. And then I watched The Craft when I was like 9 or 10, and all this female empowerment, all of this magic that I loved so much in fantasy movies, right? I was then seeing, oh, wow, people live this way and they do this. And I was 10 years old, rallying all the kids in the neighborhood to meditate and pray to the elements. And, you know, I was the weird gay witchy kid. and I dove into it pretty young, but I dove out of it because it wasn't as integrated or accepted at that time where mm-hmm. I lived. And then I eventually came back to it all in my early 20s, which is not when I really feel I kind of had my big awakening in many ways and really started diving into psychism and whatnot.
Oh, well, I would have been friends with you at school.
Oh, I know you would have, right? But yeah. I wasn't part of my path and my story is saying, no. You know, I was supposed to be lonely at that time, right? It taught me things. But yeah, you would have totally been praying to the elements or whatever with me.
Well, okay, so I love the story. And then I would love to know then, so what happened in the time between your 20s and then you ended up working in the corporate world, right? For some time. Yeah. Can you maybe go into that and how that all relates as well?
Yeah, I'm so grateful for my 20s, honestly. Like they were some of the hardest times in my life, but some of the best too. I learned so much. And when I was in art school and I was around 20, I had met my at then partner and we were together for quite a while. And he was a Reiki master and he was a massage therapist. And he wasn't actively doing that at the time, but it was kind of his past life. He was about 10 years older than me. And he would laugh if he heard this. We're still great friends, but it almost kind of sounds like he was like my guru or my teacher. And like, no, bish, I was the guru and the teacher, right? He just had some of the skills. And if he's listening, he understands my humor. But, you know, he exposed me to this world that I had not been exposed to before. He was the first one who was like, you're intuitive.
Right.
You're an empath. You feel and you sense things. And him and I, part of our soul contract and our partnership at the time was we just discovered so much mysticism and magic together in our own ways. And at that same time, I was dropping out of art school. I was starting a career in the beauty industry. And I was a makeup artist on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. Uh-huh. And I would have these moments with people when I would do their makeup and we would just connect. And I always joke that there's a lot of psychics in the beauty industry. It's interesting. I could name a few readers who used to do what I do or what I did. And it was just powerful to work with people when they'd come in for outer beauty, outer alchemy, outer transformation, but we'd have these moments and I'd connect, I'd pick things up. And in retrospect, and the way that I work with students now and the way that I'm trained is like, you never offer psychic or mediumistic information without consent.
Right.
So I didn't know that. And I was having these experiences and simultaneously, I also would be working and selling cosmetics in this high volume retail store. And psychics would come in off the street and come up to me and be like, you have this gift. I had to be pulled into this store today.
Wow.
You know, to tell you this. And I had these moments with these just random people that I never saw again. And I remember kind of being like, this is so weird, right? I keep running into these psychics. They keep being drawn to me. I'm feeling these things. So that's when I dove into a meditation practice and I started sitting with energy. I started speaking with spirits and hearing their voices. I was so afraid at the time.
Yeah.
And I started reading and working with the tarot. But I worked in the beauty industry and I climbed that corporate ladder. I eventually became a global head of sales and education for a big brand, which was awesome, but I was so burnt out and I was fried. And by that time in my late 20s, I knew that I was supposed to be doing what I do now. And I was in this very liminal in between one foot in this world, one foot in another, which I think a lot of people can relate to right now. I think there's a lot of seers and healers and helpers that are feeling called out of what I call kind of the matrix, right? And into this work. So my 20s had a lot and I learned a lot. And that's the shortest way I can talk about that time, but let me know if you have more specific questions.
No, that was great. Thank you so much. I find it so fascinating. How people kind of move into the world of you know, I mean, we're all spiritual beings, but like kind of make more of that step. And you've obviously made it a great career out of, you know, being a psychic. And it's just so interesting to hear how you got there. And then was there, I would love to know, David, because I think there's going to be a lot of people listening who are kind of moving through similar journeys, maybe. When was the time that you knew that you kind of wanted to move more into the psychic arts? And would you even say that I think you do now, right? You do it full time now. But then, so did you have a transition period where you did it for like 6 months, or you know what I mean? Like, what was your journey with that?
Totally. I knew about a year after I started working with the tarot that I wanted to give readings for work. I got so into it. I was obsessed with it. At the time when I was working with tarot, I wasn't working psychically or mediumistically, right? I was working with an oracle in that way. And that helped me ground a lot of what I was sensing and picking up. So working with a tool is really important in the beginning, right? Because it gives you a little bit of context and anchor. But I knew even before my old career in the beauty industry got to be what it was that I was supposed to be doing that work. I knew when I was young that I was going to have my own business. I knew I wanted to teach. I knew I wanted to share and help. And through time, the kind of mask that would be over that purpose just changed.
Yeah. Right?
But about 10 years ago, I knew like this is exactly what I want to do. And that's what was hard while I was in those old jobs and in that old career, which helping run a beauty brand and having 30 direct reports around the world.
Wow.
And having retailers to work with and millions of dollars that you're responsible and all these people's careers and all the drama that companies have. It was so much, right?
Yeah.
And I was working for quite a large global company for 4 years from about, I think, 2012 to 2016. And right after 2016, we got laid off. And it changed my life. I felt it coming for a year. I was prepared, but I was devastated because I put so much energy and so much purpose into my salary, into this job and this title. And I had time while I was laid off to decide what I wanted to do. And that's when I started giving readings full time as an experiment. Right. So this was the summer of 2017. And it was working. It was beautiful. That's the moment that mediumship started occurring. I was untrained in that at the time. I had no idea what was happening. People were coming to me and we were having beautiful experiences. And I thought, wow, this feels right. This feels right in my body. This feels right in my heart. I feel like I'm helping people. But I also knew at the time that there was something in my mind that was a little afraid to jump into it. Mm-hmm. And I felt in my spirit I wasn't supposed to. So I went back to the beauty industry.
Did you? And, okay.
Yeah. And those 2 years with that company, you know, I moved to Seattle. It's when I relocated here.
Okay.
They changed my life, but the whole time I was there, I had an internal struggle. And I remember in tears talking to the head of HR at one point, breaking down to her, you know, and I'm the head of sales and education and, you know, these emotions in this environment maybe aren't always welcome. And I just said, I am not supposed to be selling people shit they don't need. I'm a healer. I don't know why I'm here. Like, why am I here? Right. And the more that I started saying that out loud and putting it into words, the more the universe started to direct me onto this. And I left that company in a way that wasn't ideal. It came as a big tower moment, as we say. And I think if it didn't happen that way, I would have never have gotten into this work full time that I'm in now. So sometimes the moments in life that feel like a crisis are really just reorienting. It doesn't mean that we want to bypass and sugarcoat it. Like, no, when you're in that moment, it's going to be painful and intense, but we have to know and trust that we're always being oriented, maybe to a new paradigm, a new reality. Mm. The universe wants to work in our favor always. So yeah, that's how I'm here.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I actually feel really weirdly emotional. Like it's just hit a spot. And I think there's going to be so many listeners. I mean, I think that's why I'm getting emotional, because I moved through something very similar last year and still am moving through it, actually. I quit my corporate job last year. It was so fucking scary.
Isn't it huge.
Yeah. And I think some people can't really understand, because I think once you've worked in something your whole life and it's part of your identity, and it's,
yes,
I was doing the same thing. It was like taking a job. I took a job in a big corporate company that I wouldn't say the name.
Yeah.
Go on my LinkedIn and check it.
They know who they are. Yeah. If they're listening.
But yeah, no. And on paper, everything was perfect. And then you think, yeah, you do have a bit of an identity crisis, and it is a big tower at the moment. And I've had a few people reach out with this podcast who are moving through the similar stuff. So I'm sure it's going to be relatable, but I thought I've kind of been moving through it, but that really just hit a spot, David. So thank you for sharing your story. And yeah, I'm sure there's others that are moving through that too.
Can I add something too, just
of course.
On that,
of
on
course
that subject? When I was being called to leave that career and that specific job, which was my last job in that industry of a 15-year career that I put so much energy in, like you said, the identity, the association, the money, stability, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had a fork in the road that the universe gave me. I was working with a recruiter and I was getting lined up for a brand that on paper sounded amazing. It was technically a promotion by title. It was the pay that I deserved at the time and the recognition. And I knew I could have done it. And the team sounded amazing. And it all sounded fabulous. And I remember being like, wow, okay, cool. This is just a level up from where I am. And then all of a sudden next to me was this huge void. You could level up. Sure. The universe is giving me all these things. It's a little bit better, but guess what, girl? It's the same thing. Yep. Different characters, maybe different costumes, maybe different actors, right? But you know, it's kind of the same show. And next to me was this void, walking into something that had no guarantee of income. I had kind of a clientele because I had been reading for years, but reading very part-time. And my guides, my spirit team, my heart, the signs in the physical world, the universe, every time I looked at a tarot card was like, go into that void, jump. And I was terrified. But when I did, everything snapped into place. And who's to say that life would have went, quote, wrong if I did the other thing?
Right, right.
No, but we all have these different timelines and we all have these different potentialities. And the universe will always be ready to provide them. It's just, which one are you wanting? Which one are you maybe afraid to do? Which one is your fear inhibiting you from doing? And which one are you going to allow yourself to go and do? So
yeah,
I hope that helps.
It does. I love it so much. Thank you so much, David. I love that. That was a nice thing to, thank you for sharing your story. And well, the good news is it's worked out really well for you. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm grateful I took the leap, right?
You did.
Take the leap.
Exactly. Yeah. And when it feels right. So I would love to, now that we've got into your story, which I think is also really helpful, because I wanted to dive a little bit more deeply into the psychic arts and how you, because this is also what you do, isn't it? In terms of basically giving people the belief that anyone can access their own psychic gifts, which is how I also came across you, because I also
and you're psychic as fuck. I hope I can say that. Psychic ass.
You can. No, you can definitely swear. I mean, I did your psychic development course. When was that? A couple of months ago. I absolutely loved it. There were so many lovely people on that course. And I mean, there were people on that course that I am still to this day like, whoa, they are psychic AF. Right. Like, which was incredible to see. And also like the different types of way that people could access being psychic. And I'm still not an expert, and I'm sure for listeners this would be helpful as well. And I also loved on your course how you described how you could be a psychic or a medium and versus a psychic medium. Would you mind just giving me a bit of a rundown of what those terms are and what they mean?
Yeah, absolutely. We hear the term psychic medium sometimes like as one thing, and it can be one thing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like with whiskey and bourbon. Okay. So like all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Right? Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I don't know if that, maybe that's more of a US thing over here where we make our bourbon in Kentucky, but all mediums are psychic. Not all psychics are mediums.
Right.
Okay? And when we speak about psychism or being psychic, we are speaking about the energetics that are here in the physical realm. Right. Mm-hmm. And the energetics that are surrounding or within someone who is living right now here in the physical. We're also talking about the energetics of maybe, you know, this this room right now, right? This room is alive in its own way. It has its own energy. Mm-hmm. It definitely has its own auric field, right? And resonance. And if you were here right now in person, the energy and the frequency of the room would be different.
Right. Right?
If my partner was home, the energy of the room would be different. So when we work with psychic information, we're working with the physical, and we're also working with the energetics of the mind, right? Psychic, psyche, the mind.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah.
Mediumship, or working mediumistically or using spirit communication, is when we are not working with the physical plane or the physical realm. Mm-hmm. We're working with the non-physical, specifically what some people might refer to as the spirit realm, spirit world, the other side. Some people might say it's heaven, right? You might hear it's called the overworld or the underworld.
Okay.
And who knows? The spirit world might have many, many, many realms, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know because we're here in the physical. So when it comes to psychism, we have our psychic senses, and we use those to interpret and understand information. Right. And mm-hmm. we need to rely on those psychic senses in order to work mediumistically. But the frequency is different because we're working with energy that's not bound to physicality.
Yeah. So that's super helpful.
Shortest way I can explain it. I'm such a rambler. I'm so sorry.
No, that was not rambling. No, that was very succinct and really helpful. Okay, I have a few questions off the bat of that, because one I actually want to tail back to, which was about your story. And when you said you were actually tuning more into mediumship, when you kind of took that pause from your corporate job for the first time, I think that's correct, right? What you said.
Yeah.
Am I just putting words into your mouth? But what I could sense from that was that because you just slowed down and had that time to connect? Or do you believe that you had more of that gift innately?
You 100% got it with the first thing you said. It's because I was in a period of life where I was so unplugged. I was so off the treadmill. Mm. And I was actively and deliberately resting. Mm. And I also, at that time, I was meditating for like 40 minutes to an hour a day. And
wow.
I don't want to say that meditation is the only way, right? But here's the thing. When you meditate, no matter what modality, no matter what formality of meditation you use, you're allowing your mind to start to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowing your awareness to turn to something different than your schedule, your finances, your relationship, right? And you're allowing yourself to be more receptive. And at that time in my life, I was super duper receptive and open. And I was at a place where I was starting to do readings, you know, 3 to 5 times a week, which was very different than before.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I had had mediumistic experiences with friends when I read their tarot cards, and we were freaked out because I was untrained and I didn't understand it. And I had them on my own, right? With working with my guides. But that summer in 2017, when I had felt presence the way I never had. And I just started bringing it through. Mm. And the person knew exactly what it was. We were both surprised because neither one of us has had had that experience. But
yeah,
it's because I was slowed down.
Exactly. Yeah. Super interesting. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I think it's just food for thought, isn't it? Because I'll leave it at that. But I think probably people can resonate with that. I would love to know some of the typical traits that come with having psychic abilities. Because actually, when I did your psychic development course, I thought it was really interesting because I think, you know, and I know that you say this as well, David, but when we look at like movies or, you know, things on the TV, we kind of have this like idea of what being a psychic is. And I think that's why maybe it can be a bit off-putting or a bit, you know, a bit freaky for some people, because they're just like thinking about what they see on the TV. But actually, when I did the course with you as well, there was some things that happened that were just like not what I expected. Like one of them was the, and I forget the names, when I felt like heat in the body. What is that one called again?
Well, feeling different sensations, right? It could be called different things. Some people might feel chills. Some people might feel tickles, right? What was happening a lot in that course was a lot of you all were starting to have a lot of warming, right? And whatnot.
Exactly.
And one of the reasons I think that was occurring is because we were spending a lot of time doing a lot of somatic work and slowing down and starting to feel our energetic body.
Okay.
Right. So I forget if it was you or someone else, but there is one or two other people that, when they were sitting for a while and we were doing the exercises, they started to feel that spinning, right? Or that motion along with the heat. And it's pretty typical that when we start working with our energetic body, or even when we start working with our spiritual body, which when you work mediumistically or psychically, but I'm going to use mediumship as an example right now. When you work mediumistically, you have to connect with your own spirit. You have to connect with your spirit body because we are all souls and spirit in human form. So that's why spirit to spirit communication, which is normal, why wouldn't spirits be able to connect with each other? We have to connect with that body of ours that's able to telephone to the spirit world, right? But when people start feeling that in a new way, or maybe for the first time ever, usually a lot of people feel an intense amount of heat or warming from it. It's just your body and your awareness being like, oh, this is here. Some people might refer to that as Kundalini energy, right? Or we've heard of Kundalini awakenings as well. So that rush of heat, that rush of energy and prana that is in the yogic traditions, right? Is laying dormant at the base of the spine, right? Or in the sacral, which means in her own abode. So there's a few ways to look at it, but warmth is pretty common when we work with the energetic body, in my opinion. Somebody else might say something different.
No. And it's good to just hear from you and your perspective. Thank you. And are there any other traits that you feel people might recognize in themselves if, you know, like maybe if they've never actually sat and tried to, you know, connect in this way? But were there also other traits that you connected with before you could, you know, put a label on being psychic?
Yeah. You know, for me early on, it was a lot with my emotions. Okay. What I mean by that is, I mean, I am an emotional person. You probably know this about me, but I, because of the types of jobs that I had through my life, which were always interfacing with people, whether I was a makeup artist and I'm painting your face or whatnot, and I'm up in your energy, or when I was a sales leader and I had a team, right? I was always directly with people. And any time in my life and relationships, lovers, friends, or anything, I felt so much. And early on in my life, I always thought it was my stuff. And really what was happening is because the ways that I became me back in the day, I found myself tuning my energy to other people a lot. I was so worried about them. Are they okay? Do they like me? Are they happy? right? And my nervous system, not in a psychic perspective, but in a physiological perspective, my nervous system was attuning itself to other nervous systems, right? I was feeling other people's stuff quite literally. So early on, I noticed a lot with my psychism and intuition working through my emotions, right? And how I would feel and process and almost understand the emotions of other people.
Right.
And then eventually it became much more cerebral. I knew what somebody was going to say, right? Mm. Somebody would say something and I knew it was a lie. And then maybe I'd gently ask them, like, did that really happen that way? You know, or maybe I aggressively call them out because their lie was causing me harm. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, it kind of left that cerebral place and it became much more of this outer energetic awareness. I would feel the energy in the room change right before a crazy customer, I shouldn't say crazy customer, a rude customer came
okay,
in.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would feel the energy change, you know, on the street right before we were about to hit like a roadblock or a road jam. There was just little things.
Little things. So, yeah.
Those are some examples. And I think quite a lot of people experience that. Being psychic and being a medium is natural. We are supposed to have a relationship with the spirit world, right? And we are supposed to be intuitive and awake and alert. And some people come in to this human experience with different degrees of those abilities, just like another human might come in and be very musically inclined, where another person is more mathematically inclined, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a gift. It's an ability.
Right, right.
And everyone is capable of it. So recognizing those things, and even I hope if you're listening, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a little bit me. Yes, you're psychic AF.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I think that's really cool for people to hear though. Thanks for like, you know, it does really help because I think there are going to be a lot of people probably listening who, you know, think, yeah, there's traits that I recognize. And I think it's nice to feel that you're not, you're not strange or you're not weird, and you can connect with people like you who are able to help and enhance those abilities. So I was going to ask you if there's people listening who might feel like, oh yeah, I would really like to practice with enhancing my abilities. How can they do that? What's the best way? Yeah, well, not the best way, but
Yeah. There's many ways. I think working with an oracle is amazing because it's going to give you some context and a place to ground, right?
You mean oracle cards, David?
Oracle like tarot.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Or oracle cards. Or let's say, you know, astrology is an oracle. It's a divination system or a pendulum, right? Or any of these things that are oracles. That gives you a good place to kind of ground and reflect, but you don't need them to be psychic, right? They're kind of almost like training wheels. When it comes to connecting with your psychic senses, which we have four, clairvoyance, clairaudience, claircognizance, and clairsentience, there are also these kind of sub-clairs that come under clairsentience, right? But when we work with our psychic senses, we have to remember and look at it that those are actually your natural default senses. If you are a spirit having a temporary human experience, your non-physical senses, which are the psychic senses, those are your natural senses. However, we live in a physical world and construct and matrix where this physicality is real. If I don't feel it, touch it, taste it, smell it, it's not real. If I don't experience it, it's not real. We're at a time right now where people are starting to believe in more of what we can't see. So it takes time to reconnect with those default psychic senses. Meditation, in my opinion, is one of the best ways. I know a lot of people are listening and they're like, oh my God, you know, another person who says meditate. I get it. Meditation sucks. It does. I think it does. But it also is super helpful. It slows it down and there's many ways to do it. And any type of practice or framework that gets you into your body, into your sensing, your feeling, and your receptivity is amazing for developing your intuition or psychism, because mm-hmm. when we think of the psychic senses, these are not loud, you know, these are not loud senses. Right.
No.
It is subtle. So it takes time to train your awareness towards subtlety mm-hmm. and away from density, or in other words, away from loudness or very obvious, right? Or very visible things.
Yeah. And a lot of the course with you, and I hope it's okay to share, or I can edit it
yeah,
out after,
no, I love that.
was kind of tuning into, yeah, slowing down and like restoring the nervous system. And it is, yeah, for me, I'd be honest, it was a challenge to actually, I meditate, fairly regularly, but I agree, it sucks and it's hard. But it is necessary to pick up on, you know, the senses that are really subtle. And I'd love to talk to you as well about, you know, you just mentioned it, that I guess we're only just becoming, or maybe not only becoming, but now there is like a broader sort of realization that there is more that we can connect with, and there is more to life than just the physical body. And yeah, that we can sense into energies. And that is, I think it's so beautiful that there is this, yeah, whole thing awakening for people. But I know you talk about this a lot as well, David, but maybe for those who haven't heard you talk about it, is skepticism.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So maybe we go there. Like, because there was also times in, I read for you in the last week of the training, and there was things that happened, like I was mentioning, like the heat in my body. And it was only, I didn't even think about it until after, when I was like, oh yeah, it was only because you validated that experience that I believed that that was true then, because otherwise I probably would have just thought, oh, that was nothing. You know what I mean? So it took you to validate something that was happening for me. And I know that that was the case also for other people on the course, that it's helpful to have someone else to say, no, that was real.
It like, is.
But how do we get yes. past that? Like, how was the best way to move beyond skepticism with psychic arts? Like, it's hard.
Yes. A few things that I want to say. So your skepticism is totally okay. Like, I almost want to say your skepticism is sacred. But, you know, being a skeptic is being a human. The mind is skeptical, mm-hmm. right? And also, let's just have a real grounded moment. I mean, we're talking about the spirit world. We're talking about psychic information. This is stuff that at this time is very far out there. And we right. have to remember to be grounded, right? I really feel, and a lot of my peers and teachers feel this way too, that, you know, science right now is at a place where it just can't measure a lot of this. Right?
Yeah.
I hope I'm saying this correctly, but we only see less than like 1% of the electromagnetic field.
Oh,
we
wow.
only see less than 1% of it. That is a lot of stuff in that field that
Damn.
We do not see, that science cannot, right, totally measure, understand yet. And I believe in science and I love science, and I believe in proof and evidence. I'm an evidential psychic medium, right? I'm trained mm-hmm. to work with psychic energy and the spirit world in a way that provides evidence to the person I'm working with that this is real, right? This is here. But science is a story that evolves through human time, mm-hmm. right? And the experience, and science is always changing. As our consciousness changes, it's kind of interesting. All of a sudden, then our awareness of different technologies change. And then science kind of matches where our consciousness is at. It's kind of something interesting about technology and where we are at with our human development.
Mm-hmm.
So your skepticism is going to be there as you are developing intuitively, psychically, or mediumistically. You know this. Because I say this all the time, I'm a skeptic psychic medium. And even in my development and the development circles that I sit in at this time and the teachers I work with, I've had moments in my development just in this last year where I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm so skeptical of this. I'm so skeptical. And then I've been blown away. And when you work with the universe or the spirit world or energy in a way to say, show me.
Mm-hmm.
Show me that I can believe in this. Give me the faith, right? Show me the signs and the physical. Connect the dots for me. It will do it for you. And then you just got to show up to that moment, catch it, and be real with yourself that you're probably going to have a level of disbelief. And what you're bringing up about being alone is so real. Like, for years and years in my own psychic development, I was alone. I was self-taught. I met my first teacher, Audra Garcia, pretty late in my development. She taught me how to read without cards. That's when I started reading without tools altogether. Then I met David Stevens, who taught me a lot of clairvoyance, taught me past life work, auric healing. And it was in his classes that I was sitting there meditating for over an hour, which I had never done in my life. And I was so hot and sweating. And I'd look at him and he'd just nod like, you're okay. This is normal. Right? So when you're with somebody else in whatever, maybe spiritual or pseudo-spiritual or psychic experience, having that person to validate, having that person who's walked the path, or having a peer with you. So when you're practicing reading and you're like, I'm picking this energy up, this doesn't make sense to me, does it make sense to you? And they start laughing or crying, or their eyes and their mouth is big and they're like, I know exactly what that means, keep going. You're doing the right thing. Yeah. Now all of a sudden your skepticism can start to dissolve a little bit. So yeah, it's important to have community is the point of my ramble.
No, definitely. Thank you. I think it's really helpful. I think it's great, isn't it? When people can find people that they resonate with. And that's why I think social media gets a bad rep, but it's definitely opened up a lot of doors for people when it comes to this work, because without it, it would be really difficult. But and I'm grateful that's how I found you as well, through doing the tarot course with you first and then the psychic course. So community is super important. Thank you, David. So just to wrap up, I really want to ask you this question though. So we're kind of going back a little bit, but I'm dying to ask because I think it will be helpful for people. Because I do think there's going to be a lot of listeners who are potentially connecting with like spiritual teams or can sense presences as well. And maybe don't know, and coming back to the skepticism part, potentially don't know what to do or don't know if that's real or, I don't know if you're comfortable to share, David, but like some ways that we know if there is a spirit present and how we can trust that.
Yeah. Oh, I love this question. The first thing that comes to mind is something that one of my teachers, Eileen Davies, has taught me. Actually, quite recently, I learned this in the last year. She says that when the human heart rate rises, it starts to get quicker and faster, it's an indication that there is spirit presence in the room. And when she shared that in a group course that I was in at the time, so many light bulbs clicked on for me because I had experienced that in any time I had done a reading. I have seen students of mine experience that before. And I always just thought it was nerves or anxiety. So a quickening of the heart rate is one thing that can identify that. There's also what we call the psychic breeze, or the what I call kind of the spirit breeze or the spirit chills. If you think of some of those scary movies that honestly have nothing to do with true mediumship, true spirit communication or psychism, and somebody please make a movie and consult real professional psychic mediums. Oh my gosh, we are ready. We are willing, right? But that doesn't sell tickets, right? Needing the fear. You think of like Sixth Sense. I don't know if you've seen The Sixth Sense, but that little poor traumatized boy, every time there'd be a spirit, he would get cold, right? And the room would be icy and he'd be breathing. It's not that. That's so dramatic. However, that kind of does come from a little tiny bit of truth. And there is a phenomenon that a lot of people will feel that almost is experienced like a little breeze across the surface of the skin or a little chill. It's the energy in the room changing. Another way that people can identify when there's a guide or a spirit near is a lot of times people get a sense of like tickling at the back of their neck, closer up to the ear, right? Okay. It's my perception and my kind of take on it that when we experience this little bit of tickling or sensation behind the back of the head, almost like there's somebody or a voice reaching out to us, what energetic center is right there? You tell me which energetic center is there. It's the throat chakra.
The throat chakra. Uh-huh.
Right. And the throat chakra is how we express. It's how we communicate. But the throat chakra is also connected to the ears and receptivity. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think the throat chakra is just expression. But if you get a sore throat, what else hurts? You get an earache too, right? That mm-hmm. part of the physical body is connected, which means that part of the energetic body is connected. So this whole area around the throat, kind of up to the ears, the back of the head by the occipital, right? A lot of people will almost feel sensation or presence, tickle, chill, hair on the neck, right?
I remember you saying there was like a ringing, right? One of them was a ringing, I think.
Some people get ringing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, lots of that. And I think that a lot of people experience spirit presence, and because they don't have the understanding or the knowledge that it is not harmful and that the spirit world is one of love and that we have free will. So even if there's an energy around us and we don't want to talk to it, you can say no. Mm-hmm. We'll respect your free will. It's the mechanics of it. It's built that way. It runs that way, I promise you. Because a lot of us don't know that, or we've been told other things, we feel it and then we get freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Any moment in my youth as an untrained psychic or an untrained medium, when I thought that there was something negative, quote, around me, was really just my misunderstanding and my fear.
Yeah.
Around it. Right? Yeah. So I think a lot of people feel things, but we just don't understand yet.
Yeah, and it's learning to trust it, isn't it? Because I totally agree. It's we're not used to this kind of work, I think, unless you have been brought up in a super spiritual family and that's always been the way. But I think for both of us, that's definitely not been the case. And it's learning to trust that, and it still can be scared. I mean, I get scared still from it.
Yeah, of course.
And I think it's just trying to rewire your brain to be like, no, it's okay. It's all right. It's you'll be okay. You'll be safe. But that's why I really appreciate people like you, because I do feel safe in your spaces. And I thank you so much, David, for being you.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's not all me. It's the teachers that have helped taught me, you know, Eileen Davies, Michael Mayo, evidential mediumship and spiritualist mediumship, which is the lineage of spirit communication that I've been working with a lot. I mean, they go on and on and on to educate people on how the spirit world is one of love. And I believe that. I've never had an experience that has caused me harm. And I talk to dead people all the time. It's my job, right? So for sure.
I'm so
glad you feel safe.
I do. And thank you. And I would just love to maybe end on, just some nice little takeaways for listeners. Like if anyone's maybe interested in connecting with their own psychic abilities, how can they find you? And do you have any like last little tips or anything you'd like to share?
Yeah. Biggest thing with tips is you have to believe. So we're all skeptics. Your beliefs create reality. Right. So the more disbelief you have in your psychic ability, the more disbelief you have in your intuition, it's okay if it's there. This isn't a shame moment or anything. It's probably going to be there. Mm-hmm. Right. Because the majority of people on earth, there is a disbelief on it. But sit with your belief, be aware of it, see where it lands, see where it falls, and work with that. That's one of the biggest gateways to opening up more and more. Right. And in terms of getting in touch with me, website is my full name. So davidpetrusich.com. My last name can be a challenging one to say sometimes and spell. So if you type in Alchemy by David, alchemybydavid.com, it will take you to the same place. And then on Instagram and TikTok, it's also David Petrusich as well. So just my full name.
Beautiful. I'll add you in the show notes, David, so we can add your link, because I'm sure you'll have some people getting in touch. Thank you so much for sharing your Thursday evening with me. It's been so wonderful, and yeah, I've learned so much, and I'm sure the listeners will have as well. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast, the podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. This season, creative production is by Emily Lasbury and co-production by George Lasbury. If you'd like to stay connected to what we're up to, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Magic and Mindfulness, and maybe share these episodes with a friend or give us a review or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. This helps us to keep spreading the message and light work that we do. We appreciate every single one of you that tunes in. So stay well, stay safe, and see you soon.